Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 12 to 31, and it's entitled One Body with Many Parts. Christ is like a single body which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit. And we have all been given the one Spirit to drink. For the body itself is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. If the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body," that would not keep it from being part of the body. And if the ear were to say, "Because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body," that would not keep it from being part of the body. If the whole body was just an eye, how could it hear? And if it was only an ear, how could it smell? As it is, however, God puts every different part in the body just as he wanted it to be. There would not be a body if it were all only one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So then, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." Nor can the head say to the feet, "Well, I don't need you." On the contrary, we cannot do without the parts of the body that seem to be weaker. And those parts that we think aren't worth very much are the ones which we treat with greater care, while the parts of the body which don't look very nice are treated with special modesty. Which the more beautiful parts do not need. God himself has put the body together in such a way as to give greater honor to those parts that need it. And so there is no division in the body, but all its different parts have the same concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. If one part is praised, all the other parts share its happiness. All of you are Christ's body, and each one is a part of it. In the church, God has put all in place. In the first place, apostles. In the second place, prophets. And in the third place, teachers. Then those who perform miracles, followed by those who are given the power to heal or to help others or to direct them or to speak in strange tongues. They are not all apostles or prophets or teachers. Not everyone has the power to work miracles or to heal diseases or to speak in strange tongues or to explain what is said. Set your hearts then on the more important gifts. And our second reading comes from Luke chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls the first disciples. One day, Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret while the people pushed their way up to him to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing the nets. Jesus got into one of the boats. It belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push the boat out further to the deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon answered, "we worked hard all night long and caught nothing." "But if you say so, I will let down the nets." They let them down and caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." He and the others with him were all amazed at the large number of fish they had caught. The same was true of Simon's partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." They pulled the boats up on the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus. And may God bless these readings from his holy word.
A few weeks ago, I mentioned or explained that the elders had been thinking quite deeply about what is the future of our church. Where are we going as a church? And so a few weeks ago, I, in the sermon time, spoke about why do people come to church. I posed a couple of questions to you, and I said there was no homework. Well, there was homework, but no test afterwards. And looking at a passage from Acts, we try to think about what a church does or looks like. And so I asked you, are you here because this is a learning church, a place where people learn? Are you here because here there is a togetherness about this group with whom you are gathered? Or are you here because this is a place and around you are people where prayer is offered? Or are you here because in this place and with these people, you sense the presence of God and are enabled to more readily recognize his presence around you in the world? Are you here because you know this to be a fellowship of faith who expect great things from God? Are you here because this fellowship is willing and ready to take care of others? Are you here because it brings you joy? Or are you here because in joining with these people in this place, you are reminded what God has done for you in Christ? Now, I suspect the answer to that is, at different times, different answers. There are times when we gather together, and it is a joyous occasion. We know that we're worshiping God and we learn about Christ. Sometimes we come through the doors and spend time with people here because we're in a difficult place. And we're appreciative to the people around us who will hold us in their prayers and, if necessary, physically will give us a hug. Sometimes we come here and are pleased to learn something about ourselves, about God, about Christ, about the world. All these things are part of what it means to be the church. But the church isn't just what happens on Sunday morning. It's those other times when we're together. Yesterday, the Christmas sale, get the right name, for those of you who are relatively new to Wallington United Reformed Church, it used to be a Christmas fair, and it used to take over the whole buildings. And as Elaine said to me before the service, we raised yesterday about half of what we used to raise, but with about a fifth of the effort. And Phil's comment says, as an auditor, that's good. but I thought yesterday was also very much part of the church. There were people from the church serving and helping. There were people from user groups within the church, the guys in particular, the brownies, joining in that, providing the sale and the celebration. But then we had people come through the doors. Some we haven't seen before, some we see each year, and some people for whom this used to be their church. They'd maybe moved away or life changed in some way and they end up somewhere else. And there were conversations happening with people about new life, about how relatives and friends were. Conversations about concern and joy. And that's the church there. It's also the church when we hear of news that Alan will send out on an email, that there's a need for prayer. Sometimes it feels like every week there's a prayer request that goes out, and that's not a bad thing. Sometimes I just hope there's a bit more good in those than praying for help. But many of you are praying as part of the church for those needs that are identified. So the answers to these questions are not simple. But there is some reason or reasons why you are part of this church. And I want you to hold on to those and think about, if I find that here, if this church means that to me, maybe it would mean the same to others as well. Which the second question I left you with the other week was, what would help you to speak about your faith? Now, in our reading from Corinthians, we heard that we are the body of Christ, and we have different skills, different callings, different graces. And many of us would say, I can't talk about my faith. I'll leave that for the evangelist. At St. Andrew's, we've been one of those churches in the Southern Synod that's been partnered with the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity over the past, well, it's over 5 years, because I think it started just before I came. And so it's supposed to be 2 years, a series of events, but something called COVID got in the way and delayed some of that. So it was for about 3 years, there were a number of events where LICC, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, was helping those churches, or some from within those churches, to think about how they might engage or help their members, their fellowship, to engage with being disciples in the world today. And one of the things it talked about, I can leave this here, Simeon's got the microphone, that's right. I remember somebody saying to me afterwards they could hear me well until I moved away from the lectern. So hopefully you can still hear me. But I feel this is more of a conversation than a sermon. I find it a startling image, not because it's shocking, but just because it makes it really clear that we are all part of a gathered church. We gather together on Sunday. And the image that LICC is of a square of white dots. And in the bottom-hand corner, there's a triangle of dots that have gone red because they've gathered together. And they talk about, in church, we gather together, usually on a Sunday. And those things that I've talked about before happen around that. But that's only a small portion of our week. And the other image then is of those white dots, but the red dots are now spread out amongst them. That for most of our week, we're scattered. Gathered and scattered. And that if our faith is more to us than just a Sunday morning, then more of our time, a lot more of our time, is actually when we're scattered. So how do we help people to live out their Christian witness, live out their Christian faith, their Christian presence, in that scattered time? Because that's where God puts us more of the time. And that can be challenging, frightening, because when we come in here, it's more comfortable. We know many of the people around us. We know what conversations we can have with them and what conversations we can't have with them. But when we're out of the walls and we're with other people, maybe people we know well, people we live with, people we work with, people we are neighbors to, people we do activities with, we're not sure how they're thinking, particularly about faith. Now, it may be that you know some of your friends have a strong faith. They go to another church, and maybe you talk about churches sometimes. But the idea of talking about your faith to other people is daunting. And there are also people here who will say, if I start talking about my faith at every opportunity, I won't have any friends left. They don't want to hear. It'll ruin my relationship. And that's a very valid point. But if faith is important to you, if you are part of this church because of one of those reasons, or more than one of those reasons that I started with, maybe that would mean something for people you know. So what LICC does is, we've all got a front line. It's where we meet people who are not part of the church. And we look for opportunities where we can make a difference on our front line. That doesn't mean dropping in a conversion conversation every opportunity. It means when we find somebody on our front line, where we are, out there scattered, who's hurting, then we in some way try to help them, to ease their pain through our presence, through our words, and maybe at some point we're saying, we have something at the church that you might find valid. When we are out on our front line and we see behavior which we believe to be wrong, we don't condone it, we don't reinforce it, we continue to live with the integrity that we should have as Christians. It's about living our faith every day, in every place, not just here. And it's difficult, which is why we're gathered. We come together to worship God, but also to be empowered and helped so that we have the strength to live out our discipleship in the places where we live and work and travel and go and are. So I'm not saying, when you go home from here, the next time you meet somebody on your front line, you're going to tell them that, who's leading service next week, Alan? Who's leading the service next week? Me. That Alan will be leading a really great service next week. I mean, that's true. But it's about actually being interested in them, about genuinely caring for the people that we meet. Not because we see them as pew fodder or chair fodder, but because we see them as children of God. That each person we meet is valuable and important because they, like us, are children of God. And it can be difficult to live seeing that all the time. Because when we see on the news or even the papers, if anybody reads papers these days, news of what's happening in the politics or the world, there's a humanity within us that really just wants to criticize that person. It's difficult to hold in mind that Donald Trump is a child of God. But he is. Now, there are less extreme versions of that around you all the time. But each person that you meet is a child of God. Our calling is to live as a brother or sister of Christ with them. And that will, at some time, bring an opportunity for talking about why faith is important, why you go to church. But that will always be daunting if you never talk about your faith. So maybe today, over coffee or tea or other drinks that are available, maybe you can begin to have that conversation. Maybe you do it already. Forgive me if I'm saying you don't. About why this church is important to you. What it is about amongst those reasons that speaks to you, that holds you here. Because when talking about our faith becomes more common, then we maybe are more likely to see the opportunities for it outside of the building as well. But it isn't so much about talking, it's about living. Being true to our faith, having within us, the word's completely gone out of my mind, where you're true to your values. True to your way, holding that even outside of the building. Rabbi Lionel Blue, who some of you will remember the name, used to do thought for the day on Radio 2, I think it was. One of the leading rabbis in the country, very humorous man, and written his book. One of his books, he's got a little bit in that. He says, and I may have told you this before, but it's so good, I'm going to tell you again. He says the most important day in the Christian calendar is not Christmas Day, it's not Easter Day, it's Easter Monday. What difference does what happened on Easter make in the rest of your life, in the day that follows? So, in some ways, Sunday is not the most important day in our church's life. Monday is. What difference does being here together enable us to make or be in the following day? And one of the things that we've used at St. Andrew's from the LIC ideas is that once a month we have This Time Tomorrow, where I interview very briefly a member of the fellowship and ask them, what will you be doing this time tomorrow? Oh, sorry, where will you be this time tomorrow? Then what will you be doing there? And what are your joys and what are your challenges? And how can we pray for you? It does three things, I think. One, it helps that person to focus on, I'm not just drifting through life, I'm here for a purpose. So what happens in my normal life on a Monday morning? It also helps the congregation to know something more about that person and their faith and their life. I've heard things that I didn't know would take me years to find out about people. But it also helpfully, thirdly, reminds the rest of the congregation that God is in the rest of your week, not just Sunday morning. And that when you're having coffee with your friend on Monday morning, if that's what you do, or when you're at your allotment on Monday morning because that's what you do, or because you're on the train to work because that's what you do on and you're commuting up to London, your faith is still real. Your faith still matters to you and for the difference it can make to the people around you. That person who got the last seat on the train is also a child of God, not just somebody who's a bit quicker than you. That person who's letting their allotment go a bit wild, they're still a child of God. That person who's talking loudly in the cafe and you can't have the quiet conversation that you're trying to have with your friend is still a child of God. And there may be things going on in their lives that we don't know. Well, there are things going on in their life that we don't know. Those things may be deeply troubling. So the next person who irritates you, pray for them. And meanwhile, we will continue to try and build within this fellowship a place where we're confident about our faith in God and confident in looking for the opportunities for that faith to be real in the world around us.